Hello, everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen.
And welcome to Tarot Talk by the Soothsayer's Tea. And we are discussing fortune.
The Wheel of Fortune.
Not like the TV show that is a game show.
Oh my god, yeah. Wheel of Fortune. What's really funny, though, is every time I, like, pull this card or I see this card in, like, my life, all I can think of is that show. And that show's not even, like, in my country.
You just hear the theme or like the chant in your head. Yeah, it's the 10th card. This card definitely is an interesting one. It's kind of representing like fate, luck, fortune, cycles, unexpected events.
Change
is probably the big one. I think this card's, because we'll go into our experiences here very shortly, but this card's an interesting one, to say the least. It's hefty. It's hefty, which is funny because I think that a lot of people get worked up about like the bad cards, quote unquote, like Tower, the Devil. But I find the Wheel of Fortune is the Wheel of Fortune is the big one, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I find this card, I think, one of the hardest to read in the deck.
Yeah, it's not just the hardest. It's that when you do read it, you're just like, oh, guess what? Everything you know is going to be upside down.
Yeah,
it's a Definitely a hard hitter for sure.
For me, actually, we'll talk about this properly later, but like the Wheel of Fortune is what a lot of people, the way that I see the Wheel of Fortune is the way I think a lot of people see the Tower.
Yeah, for sure. Because I have a lot of opinions on the Tower. To be honest, the Tower is actually one of my favorite cards, but I can't wait to talk about that one, because I'm going to get really excited about it. let's talk about a little bit of the history of the card, or at least as it is by the Rider-Waite-Smith. That being said, when I do research for these cards, when I say research, because again, I'm already have a general idea how these cards work just with all the readings I've been doing, but believe it or not, Wikipedia does give you a nice little rundown on a lot of the history of these cards, especially within the Rider-Waite-Smith system. So definitely check it out. I never claim to be pulling this out of my ass on a day-to-day basis because I'm kind of stupid. But let's go into the history. So it's very clearly, it is based off Fortuna, the goddess Fortuna. Specifically, a lot of those Roman and Greek goddesses, a lot of them had wheels to kind of symbolize them. Hecate has the straw wheels. Like,
a lot of them had wheels.
They did. Like, a lot of them showed, like, wheels.
A lot of them were actually part car. This is where Lightning McQueen came from.
Exactly. It's true. No, but you know, it's true. Like, a lot of, when it comes to Christianity, of course, you have the cross, but a lot of symbolism was actually a lot of wheels for whatever reason. So the wheel that you see in the middle of the Wheel of Fortune on the Rider-Waite-Smith is the Rota Fortunae, which is the Wheel of Fortuna, the goddess, right? There's a lot of information there when it comes to the animals that are on the card as well, kind of representing either the four fixed astrological sign, which is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. It also represents the four evangelicus. Like, it represents a lot in this card. This card's thick. This card has a lot going on. It also has, like, alchemical symbols representing the four elements: earth, fire, water, and air. There's a lot going on. What I find the most interesting is the word tarot, not tarot with the T. It's T-A-R-O. So that, from what I understand, is that if we actually pull it backwards and go R-O-T-A, is a Latin word meaning wheel. There's a lot of thickness in this card when it comes to symbology.
Even, I believe, the what are they? I think it's Yod, He, Vav, and He. Like the unpronounceable name of God is there as well.
Yeah. So Yahweh, the Hebrew word for God, is where Yahweh. Tarot comes in as well. So it's like, there's a lot going on here. This is where I find it's kind of important to understand the symbology for the Rider-Waite-Smith. Again, you don't have to, but if you want to get deeper into tarot, understanding some of the symbology is important, because this is a good example of a card that's just dripping in it. It's thick. Thick, thick, thickums. But if we're going to go into a little bit of parallels there, and again, we're on the mental plane here, which is the concept of destiny. And it's kind of sandwiched in between the Hermit and justice or strength, depending on your persuasion. So when it comes to the Hermit, see, this is where I kind of like strength on the other side of it, because with
My mic's been muted again. I'm sorry.
Good job. No, but when it comes to, I like having strength on the other side. That's my personal persuasion. Strictly because I like the idea that because there's so much change within the Wheel of Fortune, you kind of you have to deal with it afterwards, right? But justice being in that position is fine as well. We'll get into it next Tarot Talk episode. But it just kind of shows that things can kind of turn in your favor, or things can kind of turn out of your favor. And the Hermit before it is kind of, it's not as emotionally battering than some other cards that represent change within the Major Arcana. But it does indicate definitely a changing of luck and fate, for better or for worse.
I think that's, it's definitely, even just in readings, like when it comes up next to each other, it's definitely the Wheel of Fortune is sort of kicking you out of your Hermit phase a little bit. Because when you are, I think we talked about in the last Tarot Talk, the importance of sometimes embodying the qualities of the Hermit. We also talked a little bit about that going on for a little bit too long. And for me, the Wheel of Fortune always kind of kicks your ass and gets you out of that sort of situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a massive, massive, like, lifestyle change. And again, I think this is where the card can be a little vague. Because if everything's going hunky-dory and the Wheel of Fortune comes up, hold on to your butt. Because it's going to go downhill. However, if things are going terrible and it pops up, I'm just like, well, good news. Because there's going to be a change of fate here. Again, when it comes between the practical and the mental plane, it kind of sits there in the center between the Empress and the Star. So in most cases, it's usually a positive change in my experience. Because we are kind of softened and buffered by two really positive cards, or overall positive cards. It's not a bad card in any way, shape, or form. It just means it's just a heavy change.
It's not a bad card unless you don't like change. Which is, so if you do like change, or if you're capable of sort of rolling with things, then pulling this card for you is probably going to be something that you're used to.
Yeah, it's very much so a progressive change. It's not harsh in any way, shape, or form. It's always a natural, again, turning of the wheel, whether your fortune goes up or down. The good news is that if you're in a shitty position, what is up, what is down has to come up, right? It's always a cyclical cycle of things, right? Because I think that's the one thing when people are kind of trying to pursue happiness is that it doesn't just stay there. Everything goes in a cycle. Everything comes up, goes down. Everything that goes down must come up. And that's what it kind of represents here. It's just that constantly cycling of fortune and fame.
And I find this card comes up a lot for me with younger people sort of getting into relationships for the first time, or like long-term relationships for the first time. Because what happens is they will have sort of one fight or one argument, and they'll be like, okay, this is it. This is the end of the relationship. And it's like, no. This is just one single argument, and things are not going to be perfect all of the time. If you're going to have like a good and like successful long-term relationship, you're going to need to learn to fight about things properly and not think it's the end of the world.
Yeah, it's very much so a card that's again, it's ebbs and flows. It's very natural. Some of the nastier change cards, like Death, Tower, even the Devil to a certain extent, those are a lot more harsher and nastier. But like you said, a lot of people associate some other cards with kind of the changes of the Wheel of Fortune. But again, it's a natural change. It's very like it's a twisting of basically what to expect. Now, if we're talking about our experiences, what I find as well, because destiny kind of comes up a little bit in this regard, I don't necessarily see it like fate and destiny is a thing that we're kind of stuck with. But this comes up sometimes as a warning when things are just, if you're working towards something and it's just not panning out, It's just no matter what you do, it's just not working. This card often comes up to tell people saying, like, just stop trying.
Yeah.
Like, just stop. Because the thing is that there's nothing that you can do to stop the wheel from turning. Mm-hmm. It's just going to turn that way. So either go along with the ride and allow it to kind of pick back up again, or piss on it and walk away.
Yeah, it is sort of inevitable in that sense. Like, I don't really see, like, I share that sort of same view. I don't really believe in, like, the sort of, like, defined, like, faith or destiny or whatever. But with the Wheel of Fortune, it's definitely unstoppable forward movement. Like, you're not going to be able to prevent this from happening, because it's just sort of the natural cycle of how things are going to go anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the Hermit before it kind of shows that wisdom to recognize that it's not going to stop, right? Because mm-hmm. as much as that we, especially as practitioners, we can kind of manipulate things to our favor, on the flip side of the coin, there's just things that you just can't change, right? And I don't want to say that fate is necessarily a thing. I think fate is a really good word to describe it. But I think it's mm-hmm. less that you are cursed to do this and more that this is just going to happen.
Yeah, like, you can't necessarily stop a hurricane if it's going to happen. So, yeah. Like, you can just kind of move out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
I always like this, my concept when I see this card, especially I see it in the sky and stuff like that, it's kind of like the Thrones of God. Like, they're constantly moving. They're going to just roll you over because they don't really care. It's a very unfeeling card, but it's kind of a necessary thing. There's a lot of depth to the Wheel of Fortune, and I think that's where it can be a little difficult to read at times, mm-hmm. because it's definitely more of a concept than a character. Like, with everything else, there's always characters on the cards, right? There's always, mm-hmm. but this is definitely more of a concept. It's more of a trope than an actual person.
Yeah, and like, even like with our pop culture references and stuff, this episode, they're not going to be as, I guess, definite. They're a little bit more like vague, and it's because the Wheel of Fortune isn't necessarily representative of exactly one personality trait. It's sort of like an overall arcing theme, I guess.
Yeah, or trope. This card is, because again, when it comes to the Fool's Journey, because these are all kind of characters that the Fool kind of comes across or kind of represents throughout his life journey or their life journey. When it comes to the wheel, it's definitely more of an experience than an actual character that they're approaching or learning from or coming into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do also find that this card represents time as well.
In what way?
And depending on the reading, if it's not making sense mm-hmm. to talk about, like, again, luck turning or fate, is that this kind of represents kind of the wheels of time constantly pulling forward, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be
like sort of like an inevitability.
Yeah, it's kind of an exactly. So depending on what makes sense to me, I will read it in context of just like time, right? Because mm-hmm. even in time, like it will allow a plant to grow and it'll kill a plant. Things just take time and cycles, right? So I find that this can represent time, depending on the context of the reading and the cards around it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. In my experience, that doesn't really happen that often, but I can definitely see how it would happen, like theoretically to me. But for me, it mostly comes up for big changes or sort of like getting, not so much getting it together, but learning to stop fixating on the little things that you cannot change and trying to focus more on the things that you can change.
Yeah, this is, again, a card of change overall, whether it be for good or for bad. I do like the Wheel of Fortune. I have like my, mm-hmm. my concerns with Wheel of Fortune just because it is a kind of vague card. But when it does come up, that especially for clients, when it does come up for me or for us or the client itself, I find that's mm-hmm. always interesting because I'm like, oh, you're here for a reason then. Right?
Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm sure as professionals, we get people who come in that do it for entertainment or do it for fun. But then you get the clients who come in that they really need basically.
Yeah, they've had some sort of event happen in their life and they're looking for guidance.
Yeah, or they're like, they're really in a situation where they do want guidance, right? When that comes up, I'm just like, well, you come to the right place because let's investigate this card. When the Wheel of Fortune comes up, for me, I'm definitely pulling additional cards to find some more additional information, which is funny because usually when it comes to me pulling cards, I try to pull as little as possible because I want to pull as much as I can from the spread that's in front of me. However, yeah, when that one comes up, I'm just like, all right, we're going to investigate this more, because that's like that little pin on the mind map that is usually quite a big change because it's hard to describe to people without any additional context.
For well, I mean, for me, I actually do something similar. I usually, when I pull the Wheel of Fortune, I wait until I've finished dealing the rest of the spread, and then I might pull one more card just specifically for the Wheel of Fortune. And if I'm sort of dictating a reading to someone, I usually don't even mention that card. I just use it to sort of inform me on the context behind the Wheel of Fortune, if that makes sense. And not so much as its own card.
Yeah, and that's
actually something I can see why Oracle decks could possibly be used. That's a situation where I can see that possibly going in that direction. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I ever, ever will, because I absolutely will not. But I can see where people are coming from.
Yeah, and that's fair. And that's honestly, there's really no wrong way to read tarot with the exception of taking out cards. Listen, I am very much so in the camp. We've said it a million times. There's no wrong way to read tarot with the exception of removing cards. Don't remove cards.
Yeah.
Other than that, go at her. So I think that overall it's a vague card, but in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now the question I have for you, because I don't read reversals, how would you read it as a reversal though?
As a reversal, it also sort of depends. For me, there are actually certain cards that I don't really read reversals for. This isn't necessarily one of them, but for me, it's usually just very simply, if the card is in reverse, then it is... Okay, if the card is in reverse and it's the first card I pull, then it's probably they're coming out of a negative situation and they're like experiencing their Wheel of Fortune arc. And then if it's like upright, then it's sort of the opposite. They're sort of coming down from something. And I just sort of use it to indicate which way the wheel is spinning for this person.
Yeah, well, spinning, same difference. Yeah. So I can see that. If I read reversals, which again, I'm not opposed to, I just don't. I would probably read it more as stagnation, like things are not moving.
The
car's kind of on its roof and it's spinning its wheels and nothing's actually moving. So I would kind of read it as like, well, guess what? You're kind of stuck where you're at, so how the hell are we going to get out of it? Because if you're here, then you're here for a reason. Right?
See, for me, that would be the Hermit reversed.
Okay.
That's fair. Well, like, it's all contextual, but like, it's very more likely. That's what usually comes up in that context.
And this is what I love and hate about reversals, is that reversals are very much so UPG, right? I find
100%.
Find upright is like, that is a system that you work with. While I find that once you add reversals in there, it's just like, well, whatever the reader wants to make up. And when I say I don't mean it in a bad way.
No, I know. However the reader interprets the reversed version of this, I guess. It is very much EPG. Actually, I'd love to write something on reversals one day, and I probably never will.
Yes. Listen, I've had conversations like, I should write a book on tarot. And then I never do.
I mean, I never do. I was making a blog post on St. Bridget and like the syncretism between St. Bridget and Bridget the goddess. And it literally turned into a research paper that I submitted for part of my like course, because I'm doing like my religious studies course. It was part of my degree, and I submitted it as that. I think I got like an 8.2 out of 10. I was very proud of it, and I never published it.
Listen, at the very minimum, at least you got some sort of use out of it and didn't just sit on the computer.
True.
So, pop culture connections. This one, again, is a little difficult because the Wheel of Fortune is more of a concept or a character development than actual character itself. But we were able to find a few examples.
For me, because I very recently, and for the very first time, watched Legally Blonde.
Oh, you're
And
such an infant.
listen, okay, no, but to be fair, this was just on me. Like, I could have watched that at any point in the last like 10-ish years. I still would have been like 2001 it came out. 10 years ago it was 2012, so 11 years. I still have been 11 years late, but still. No, but Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, just the sort of like character arc that she does have, where oh my God, I just watched this movie last week. Anyway, yeah, no, because she does go end up going to sort of, okay, by the way, spoilers for a 21-year-old movie. But she does end up going to law school, and she does end up getting her degree and graduating very well, very well, very
Very
something
good.
I apparently will not be doing with very high, like with honors or whatever.
Yes.
That was sort of in direct contrast with the public perception of who she was, because she was very much sort of like that blonde sorority girl person, and she turned that around while not shitting on it. Like, she didn't shit on her former self or anything. She stayed true to like that sort of like airy, like stereotypically blonde personality, while also being a very, very good and successful lawyer. And that was just very Wheel of Fortune to me.
Yes. So I have a little more of a vague example or connection. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. The Cheshire Cat from any of the
The
Alice in
Cheshire
Wonderland.
Cat.
Cheshire.
Oh
Cheshire?
my God.
I have
Che
no idea.
just a Cheshire.
Cheshire. So the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, because nobody knows what that fucker's up to. And the thing is that when Alice kind of comes across the Cheshire Cat, it's very much so a situation where it's like, is this friend or foe? And when the cat is kind of giving advice, is very vague, and it's kind of like, oh, you're in kind of a bad spot, aren't you? It's an interesting character, because it's almost like it is almost like doling out fate and doling out kind of situations, and it's always there when she's in a bad spot. And it's always there to kind of help her kind of get out of it a little bit. So there is kind of a twisting of fate there when it comes to the Cheshire Cat and how it's a bit of an asshole. I do love it, but for me, that's the first thing I kind of thought of, because it is kind of it's not so much a character as an intangible thing that kind of flits in and out and kind of is always there at the wrong time to make things better. But not necessarily actionable, just because it's there to make things better by giving her advice to make herself better, to get her to change.
Yes, a herald of change. A herald?
Yes. A
Herald?
herald.
Steward?
Herald? I have no
Steward of
idea.
change.
Steward of
Sure,
change, yeah.
whatever.
And honestly, it comes into the character just being shifting in and out of visibility, too. It kind of shows that kind of shifting and changing.
For me, very much Ash Ketchum from the Pokemons, all of the
All the
Pokemons,
Pokemons.
in fact. No, but just he's very like his character, just his character, his overall character. No matter what seems to happen, he always seems to go down and then a little bit up. He never loses necessarily, and when he does lose, it's still a very positive loss. Like, I think you said earlier he's got plot armor, which I think is a very good way to describe it. Like, this, he like nothing bad is necessarily ever going to happen to him that's not going to be turned back into a good. And that sort of like quick description, I guess, quick depiction, yeah, of negative change and positive change, and just constantly going up and down is a very good depiction, I think, of the Wheel of Fortune and the symbology behind it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the trials and tribulations of like just and being in some sort of like kind of competitive style of
It's almost like at the beginning of every episode, he pulls the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, exactly, because something goes to hell and
Yeah.
it's always working out in his favor. So this
And
is like
then,
a yeah
yeah.
it's a really positive kind of spin on the Wheel of Fortune for sure. But and that comes into again, a character concept compared to an actual character. The Wheel of Fortune is plot armor, or that one character that's always going to get screwed no matter what, right? Because they're constantly in that kind of state of flux. Anytime something goes up, it has to go down, or anything that goes down has to go up. And Ash Ketchum is actually a good example of that, because he's constantly going up against the odds, and it always works out in his favor. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Another example I have that's really on the nose is Mad Sweeney from American Gods. That's literally the leprechaun character, which I feel like that you're slightly triggered by. But no, it's...
We will, but I won't say anything. I'll hold my tongue.
No, it's very much so when you first come across him, he's got his lucky coin, right? And he's kind of doling out that kind of favor to people, things going up and down, because all the people that he kind of gives favors to, it's a big change. And it's always changed, usually for the worse, because that's just how that show works. But it's always something massive. Again, spoiler, when it comes to the wife character, he basically brings her back to life, but she's kind of in a rotting body now. And she has to kind of figure out her, again, no, she's no longer dead, but now she has to deal with this because, again, the constant
cycle. I just realized who you were talking about.
Yep.
Sorry, for everyone, I watched American Gods, like, season one-ish, or maybe, like, a lot of season one. I didn't really like it, and I didn't really pay that much attention to it, and I've been literally sitting here for the last, like, 20 minutes trying to figure out who Mad Sweeney is from the trailer board, and I've just remembered who it was.
It's the actual hot leprechaun, yes.
Yeah, with the coin.
With the coin, with the lucky coin, right? Mm. And when he's kind of bestowing these things, it's like, it's everything's just kind of chaotic in the best way because it moves the plot forward. Nobody's really punished by what's happening, but they're kind of given something that's kind of screwy and they have to figure it out. So when it comes to the wife character, she comes back to life, but now she's in a rotting body, so she has to figure that out. This is where I can see people kind of get connections with the Wheel of Fortune and the Tower, but it always kind of moves the plot forward and it always kind of works out when it comes to, again, Mad Sweeney and his lucky coin.
Yep. And I agree. I mean, I would have to watch American Gods again to keep talking about this. I really want to. I've wanted to get into it for a while, and I just didn't. Like, it was just. I want to read the books, though, too. I want to read the books.
The books are a lot better, and I know that when it comes to American Gods, the first season was golden. It just went downhill very, very quickly.
Oh, so if I didn't even like the first season, I might not even like the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I did like the concept of what they were doing, and I think probably that has a lot more to do with the, like, the material that it was sourced from than the actual show itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with that, I think we will see you all on Friday. Maybe I will have read/watched American Gods by then.
We'll see. But yeah, my name is Kateri. You can find me on Instagram mostly. You can also visit me at vinoxys.net for readings. All the information is going to be in the description below.
Yeah, and I've been Owen. You know where you can find me, on Twitter and Instagram. And quite literally, that is it. I don't even post on Instagram anymore. We move. But all of my links will be in the description below. So good luck, everybody. See you Friday.
See you Friday. Bye.
Bye.